Mr. Blom, thank you for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
I looked at this, and let me just get this straight. I mean, am I correct in that NERSA is asking for a 33% increase in Eskom is going to ask NERSA for a 33% increase in how much we pay for electricity?
Absolutely, and that's just phase one. That is to recoup money that Eskom blew, so to speak, from 2013 to 2017. And, you know, in Afrikaans, we talk about agterskot. In other words, this is a reclaim of over-expenditure and under-sales over that period of time. So it comes to about 66 billion rand. And if you put that onto Eskom's current revenue of about 170 billion rand, it comes to around 33% increase that they want to ask for. And I said to you, that's phase one. Eskom also has to put in its multi-year price application for the future prices. And that's in my estimate, another 20 to 30%. I started off at 20, but now with all these renewables coming online, which Eskom, nobody has factored in the impact on Eskom, Eskom's going to probably need 30% this year and 50% next year.
Okay, let's take it step by step, because the one thing that I'd like to also settle is this issue of the renewables. Because in my opinion, or in my mind, I assumed, and maybe the technology is still relatively new, we don't know what the heck is going on, all that other stuff, that is why renewables still seemingly are so are expensive. But I thought it would make the price of power and energy cheaper, because my assumption would have been that by now, you know, things would have been cheaper in that particular space.
Well, in a normal market, if the grid was open, then only the cheap technologies will be able to compete on the grid. But this whole renewables thing in South Africa, as far as I'm concerned, is a bigger scam than the so-called Russian nuclear deal. It's just unbelievable. If you want to just unpack it for a minute, the first window came in at 3.46 an hour, a kilowatt hour. The current bid windows are all going to come in at about 86 cents a kilowatt hour, and bid windows 2 and 3 were in the middle of those numbers. And then on top of that, they are guaranteed all this power will be taken off by Eskom at an escalated rate over the next 20 years. I mean, in no market can you have somebody guaranteeing your offtake for 20 years. So that's even more security for the renewable guys than what I get from my pension fund administrators. I don't get, I mean, if the interest rates rise, my pension will grow faster. If it falls, it will go slower. These guys get a guaranteed offtake and a guaranteed price for the next 20 years. It's unheard of. It's a scam of note.
And I mean, we've heard that before, and I've always been one of those people, because I'm not too aware of the details behind these contracts or these deals. And, you know, I tend not to comment on it and say that, no, it's, you know, that it's nonsense. But it sounds like it's a poor deal that we've definitely signed up for there.
Well, let me compare it to coal, because if you want to compare the on-the-grid cost of renewables, then you must compare the same apple with regard to coal.
Yeah.
The coal on-the-grid cost is the equivalent of below 35 cents a kilowatt hour. So coal on-the-grid costs less than half than renewables on the new renewables, the cheap window on-the-grid, which is coming on at 86 cents a kilowatt hour. So, I mean, it's just ludicrous. And then on top of it, because the renewables are guaranteed access to the grid for 8 hours a day, Eskom has to then switch off, and it can't do that because coal takes 4 days to warm up, has to take off the grid its coal power stations, and then it has to suddenly be ready at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the solar goes down, and then also face a peak of extra 3 gigawatt hours between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So Eskom has to run 9 gigawatts of additional power with no revenue for at least 8 hours of the day. And that'll just be diabolical for Eskom's efficiency ratios. And it'll just push the price of electricity right through the roof.
Now, Ted, we'll get into the impact of what it means if, you know, I don't know, Eskom, I don't know, if NERSA, for example, you know, the morning of these hearings and, you know, this decision decide to smoke their socks and then they grant the 33%. We'll talk about what the impact would be in a couple of seconds. But what I just want to understand, though, is that, you know, we have a new board and there was all kinds of, excitement around this. And I mean, one assumes that things are going to improve. Ben Ngubane is gone, Brian Molefe is gone, and we know that much of the issues that we have at the moment, whether it be around Eskom or any of the other concerns around state capture and so forth, were sort of left at their doorstep. But now it seems that we're still not out of the woods yet.
Well, the problem is that unfortunately, this government has appointed a bunch of novices now to run Eskom. And you can't, when the organization's in the deepest trouble it's been in over 100 years, you can't put novices on top of, in charge of the organization. None of these guys have got sector experience. None of them got deep Eskom experience. Hmm. They don't know what the business model should be. I mean, they might have the integrity that you actually wish, but the integrity itself can't run an organization as complex as Eskom. You need people with integrity and sector experience. And unfortunately, because Eskom's a monopoly, there are not many of those people with experience outside of Eskom. And hence, the only option you've got is to either hire internationally, or you've got to hire from previous, Eskom staff who ran the operation whilst it was a top five utility. And the last time Eskom was a top five utility was before 2005. So if you go and look at pre-2005 management, they will be able to add the sector experience, or else you've got to go and hire somebody internationally to run the sea. You can't put a bunch of novices. With respect to these guys, they might be a nice bunch of guys, but I've spoken to some of them in the last 2 weeks, and actually they don't know the difference between Arthur and Martha.
What I just want to understand, though, from you is, I mean, I hear that you're saying that, look, if we go back to 2005, the ex-managers that have left at that particular point in time, some of them might be the competent folk to deal with this particular issue. But, I mean, the biggest concern that I'm, that comes up in my mind is the fact that that's, 13 years ago, if not more, in some instances, and some of them might be living fossils, which creates a problem in itself. Second
well,
to that,
I'm one of those living fossils, but I mean, we
no, I'm not saying you specifically per se, and no offense by that, but I mean, we are talking about people that would have probably been in senior positions, who would have been senior in age as well, and would they still be available for duty?
Absolutely, and in fact, there's a guy who's of comparable age, a guy by the name of Mick Davis, sitting in London. He should have been and would have been the CEO of Eskom a number of years ago. For political reasons, he was overseen. But, I mean, he's rated as one of the sharpest people on the block. And he's got deep Eskom experience. And then there's Larry Harper, Professor Harper, who's sitting in the States. He's just retired at 64. Mm. But, I mean, his brain is as sharp as a razor. And these are guys with deep, deep, deep industry experience. I myself was a turnaround manager at Eskom for problems inside the organization, and I've contacted my team. And yes, we are all north of 60, but we've still got a good 10 years behind us or ahead of us. Mm. And the guys have all indicated they'll come in at a fraction of the price of McKinsey or Price Waterhouse, all these consultants that have been brought in, and they're starting that, incidentally, was 2005. That's when all those expensive and corrupt consulting deals started. They started very small. They grew bigger and bigger and bigger. So prior to 2005, I think we'll still be able to pull a couple of guys together who will have at least 10 years, 15 years ahead of them, and could, within a year or two or three, because Eskom is not going to be fixed up in a day.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I have with the current new management, is they want their strategy is to throw more money in the top of the bucket. It's no use throwing more money in the top of the bucket when it's peeing out faster at the bottom of the bucket through the holes, which is corruption and inefficiency and overstaffed and all the rest. I mean, this thing's going to be tackled systematically, and anybody with sector experience would know exactly what recipe to apply. And really, I think it's also unfair to put people into the deep water of a burning ship, or as one of the directors said to me privately off the record, a sinking flotation. It's unfair to put these people in with no experience and expect them to save the souls.
No, for sure. Look, I mean, Ted, it sounds very stark and very difficult, but let's not go back to what this the current financial situation is, because I presume that the 66 billion that they need, or this 33% increase in tariffs from Eskom's side. It's not, this is not where you overshoot and you say that I need 100 million gajillion bazillion rands. But what you actually mean is that, you know what, I just need an extra bit of bob to tie me over. And, you know that it's a negotiation. Therefore, there will be a toing and froing. And as a result of toing and froing, you're not going to get as much as you initially asked for. Is that the case, or is it that they actually need this amount of money?
Okay, so the RCA is the historic claim. The future claim is the extra 30% for the next year and then 50% for the following year. The fact of the matter is Eskom, in this current structure, in this current business model, is bleeding money left, right, and center. It's building those two power stations, of which it should only have built one. The second one was built without a tender. The corruption there was 60 billion apiece. And this RCA thing, which I will oppose vehemently, covers the Gupta years. We have not had a forensic audit at Eskom to say, listen here, guys, this is what actually should have happened. This is the thievery and corruption that was on top of it. So we're not going to we're going to separate the two amounts and only ask the public to pay what's due. At the moment, it's all lumped together. Neither Parliament, nor the Minister, nor the President, nobody has ordered, nor Eskom itself, has ordered a full forensic audit over the relevant years, so that we as the public can have a clear view as to what is corruption, what is poor performance, what is inefficiency, and what is actually due. Because the law says an inefficient organization must get no extra money. So it's only an efficient, well-run organization that's justified. And the way they've lumped all this stuff together, even I don't know who's Arthur and Martha.
No, and it, I mean, it's quite crazy. Okay, so looking at that, but now let's assume that they do get the this hectic amount of 33%, and I don't know over what period. Is it going to be at one shot? They want it within a year, or do they want it, you know, over a staggered time period? But either way, it's going to be bloody expensive. What impact does that then in turn have on you know, on your pocket and my pocket? Because, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they just literally got a 5%, or they're going to get a 5-point-some-odd% increase now on the 1st of April.
Okay, and Eskom's now fighting that as well. They've made noises that they want to appeal that and go back to the 20% that they asked for last, at the end of last year. So whichever way it goes, the fact of the matter is, with a 500% price increase in electricity since 2007, we have killed off the mining industry in this country. We have killed off over 500,000 jobs. We've killed off the smelting, and it makes a mockery of the National Development Plan that says we must beneficiate our minerals. The only way you can beneficiate minerals with electricity, and you need cheap electricity to do that, not this expensive stuff that's pouring down our throats at the moment.
So, I mean, in your opinion, I mean, you said it, Ted, you've nailed your colors to the mast. You said, listen, yeah, dude, I'm experienced in the space. I know a hell of a lot of other people that are experienced in the space. In fact, you worked on the turnaround of Eskom in the past. I mean, what would be those few things that you would initiate? And I don't want to say 10-point plan or 5-point plan. I don't know how many points you need for this plan in Eskom, because it seems that it's a sinking ship and it keeps on sinking despite the good news. What is it that we need to do to turn around this thing, and how long will it take us?
Okay, well, look, I mean, the technical answer and the politically expedient answer are obviously going to vary. But you need to virtually immediately lift off 30,000 souls off the organization's payroll. They are overstaffed by more than 30,000 people. It's a national disgrace. And somebody needs to answer for that. The second fact is, of the remaining people, the average salary is 4 times higher than the equivalent person working in a similar utility overseas. That's the other problem. Then the next thing is, you need to kill the corruption. Off the record, I believe Eskom is now investigating 239 people in the high level of management. Well, that's a crying shame, because there's 400 people in that band of management. That means more than half of the management in that organization are crooked. You can't fix a thing where the people that are crooked are still in charge of the operation. So those are the first 3 steps you need to do. And that will try and solve some of the holes in the bucket. Then you'll have credibility to go to the market and say, hey, guys, we stuffed up. Please help us out for the next 5 or 10 years or whatever. And then the pension funds can consider putting in some of their money. But at the moment, with Moody's having downgraded Eskom 5 grades below investment grade, I mean, anybody that puts in their money into Eskom, and the pension fund manager that puts my money in, I will go and lay a reckless charging tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds quite hectic. I mean, you know, the way that you're putting it there. I mean, there's no, it doesn't seem like there's too much to, you know, too many things that we can say about Eskom at the moment that is going to be flattering. I mean, you were talking about the number of people that are in the employ what you call this thing of Eskom. And, you're saying that it's highly inflated. And I saw that there was another piece by Earl Kutsia that reflects that and says that, should the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, that's NERSA, approve Eskom's application for 33% price increase, the country runs the risk of killing off economic activity, increased job losses and numerous business closures, as you mentioned. I'm just trying to get to the piece where he says that, it's also an inflated staff. Earning, I think, about four times what, you know, what is standard in this particular year, but its bloated workforce earns more than four times than at overseas utilities, and there's rampant corruption, dubious contracting, and poor management. I mean, is that the case, that they're earning up to four times as much as they should be?
Absolutely. The average salary there seems over 800,000. The average, from street cleaner to grass cutter to tea lady.
What?
To the directors, the average is over 800,000 rand a month. A year.
That is, I mean, that's still a hell of a lot of money.
That's one hell of a lot of money. Whereas worldwide, the average is around 200,000. And 200,000, especially for a large organization, is a reasonable, you know, average from top to bottom. But, I mean, as Eskom, and then they have got 48,000 people on the payroll, whereas an equivalent organization overseas would have between 15,000 and 18,000 people on the payroll. So you've got 30,000 people too many. I mean, it's a disaster waiting to explode.
But, I mean, are we comparing apples with apples? Because a lot of people would say that, I don't know, maybe Eskom can't, we can't compare Eskom with what's happening in China or the US or in Europe or the UK or, I don't know, in Egypt, whatever you might like. You know, that the reason why they have four times as many staff members is because of the systems that are in place, older technology, therefore you can't replace as many warm bodies, and, you know, the unions are going to have a hissy fit if you start getting rid of people, you can't cut back on salaries, et cetera, et cetera. What's your response to that?
Okay, so it's very easy. I ran a benchmark, okay, between Eskom and another organization in this country that's not known for its efficiency, and that's City Power.
Yeah.
And when I ran that exercise, City Power's costs were one quarter of Eskom's costs.
Oh. I mean, and then we talk about like for like, you know, comparing apples with apples.
Well, even worse, because City Power was getting railed its coal, whereas Eskom has mind-mouth operations, so they shouldn't have, if there's no corruption, they shouldn't have transport costs on their coal, and that's their biggest input factor. City Power buys, probably gets served the worst coal in the country, and it's still railed all the way from the mines to Joburg to Kelvin A and Kelvin B. And even despite all those penalties, City Power's power, cost of generation was a quarter of Eskom's cost of generation.
Okay, Ted, developments in our conversation, because the chairman of Eskom, Mr. Jabu Mabuza, has been listening to this conversation, and he just called in and he would like to be able to respond. So I'm going to put you on hold for a second, give him an opportunity to speak, and then if there's obviously any response that you have on your side, I will then give you gentlemen an opportunity just to quickly, you know, debate it out, slog it out, as they would say. That coming up next. It's 26 minutes past 9. 28 minutes past 9 o'clock. As I said, very lucky to have Mr. Jabu Mabuza, Eskom board chairman, that called in. He's been listening to the conversation with myself and Mr. Ted Blom, former senior executive and partner at Mining and Energy Advisors. Mr. Mabuza, good evening, and thank you for being proactive and giving us a call there.
Good evening, Kashwell, and good evening to your guest.
Sure. What's on your mind this evening?
No, I've been listening attentively, and I'm quite grateful that I coincided with this conversation. And really, I'm phoning to firstly restate that none of us want to come across and say we have answers, we know anything. All what we have, these are South Africans that are willing and are able to tackle what is a national issue, a national problem which is very systemic. So I was calling to say to your guest, I would welcome the opportunity to sit, listen to him, get whatever help we can get, I am saying, as the president says, Tumamina, he's raised his hands. He knows something about this space. We don't know whether we are father or mother on this, but we want people like him to come forward and say, I know this job. I know where the solutions are, and this is my role that I'm prepared to play. That's all I wanted to say to Ted, 100%. If I may call him that.
Okay, sure. If you'll just take Mr. Blom's response on that one. Mr. Blom, you heard what Mr. Mabuza came out and said. I mean, he said that, listen, he accepts that there is obviously a need for experience, advice, assistance, and he's happy to, you know, meet with you and have a chat with you and hear what you have to say about this. What's your response?
From my side, it would be an honor to do so.
100%. No, that's great. Mr. Mabuza, your take on that?
Yeah, thank you very much. And Gashwin, maybe Oyama can give me Mr. Blom's detail, or I can give my email address, and then so that we can make connection. I really am looking for people that know, people that are prepared to work, people that we're looking for South Africans, and there are many South Africans like him. We are saying we are willing to listen and learn and work with those people. So
no,
I welcome the privilege to connect with Mr. Blom.
No, that's wonderful to hear. Mr. Mabuza, all the best to you, and we wish you all the luck in the world. Not necessarily because I like you per se. I don't know you all that well. But the fact of the matter is that, I mean, just based on what Mr. Blom told us now, and I think what any other person with, you know, more than two brain cells will tell us, is that Eskom needs to work, because if Eskom fails, the country fails.
Indeed, Gashwin, indeed. That is the point.
I mean, in terms of the tariff increases, just as a final question from our side here, I mean, are you really going to be asking for a 33% increase? Or is there, you know, what are you asking for? What are you anticipating coming back from NERSA in this particular instance?
Look, Ted has well articulated the point. It does translate to that, but the point is we are supposed to go back to NERSA and ask that revenue clearing account, which amounts to that 66 billion. So I don't want to go into the details of that either than confirming that it is provided for. And I think it raises a very valid point, that at a point we need to actually establish what was the under collection, what was the over expenditure, what was that which was corrupt, what quantity of that was corrupt, and where is it, how can that be recovered?
I mean, are we at
I don't want to go into the details except to say philosophically and principally, I think he's making valid points. That's why I'm saying we want to talk, we want to listen to you.
Mm. I mean, as part of your strategy then, and this is my final question, and then I'll let you go so that you can get the contact details so that you and Mr. Blom can connect after this. I mean, as part of your strategy as the chair and as the new incoming chair, I mean, are you going to clean house and say that, listen, guys, we need to fix things up, because obviously you can only squeeze the consumer up until a particular point. And at some stage, heads need to roll, people need to be held to account. Is that part of your strategy?
Indeed, I mean the problems are deep, long, and are running far wide in the organization. They manifest themselves in the problem that is our liquidity problem now. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of management issues. There are a lot of capital structure issues. There are a lot of operating model issues. And indeed, there are a lot of the issues that is raised of our aging plant. And there is a lot of our inefficiency. And the reality is we have to look at everything, whether it's in our income statement, in our balance sheet, and wherever it is in our systems and in our procurement. The thing is the problems of Eskom are just too big and wide. And they've run too deep, and they would need, I agree with him, they will need a lot of time and a lot of effort to go in there.
Mr. Mabuza, again, I can't help but reiterate the fact that we wish you all the best and good luck in your ventures, okay?
No, thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you. That was Mr. Jabu Mabuza. He's the Eskom board chairman. Let's hear from Mr. Ted Blom his final thoughts on that. I mean, you know, that's very rare. I mean, imagine that. Get a call from the Eskom chair and he says, listen, I want to connect with Mr. Blom there. Give me his email address. Give me his details. We need his expertise. We need people of his experience. What's your take on that? I think it's a positive sign.
That's a gentleman and a patriot to do, to extend the hand.
100%. Look, hopefully you guys have that meeting. Hopefully, you know, we can get to a point whereby your expertise, your experience, is able to assist Eskom. And I'm pretty sure that you would be amenable to that because, of course, and I'm not accusing you of this. I'm not saying that you are guilty of this, but of course, it's easier to criticize and to say that this is where you're getting things wrong and this is why it will never work. But it's another thing to be able to sit, you know, extend a hand and say that you called a radio show. You said you wanted help. Here's my help.
Absolutely. And I'm willing, I'm able, and my team is willing and able. I've already discussed it with them, but we just didn't have the chance to approach Eskom.
No, 100%. And, I mean, yeah, this was the conduit for it, and this gives us a wonderful opportunity. All the best to you, and good luck, eh?
And well done to you and your station.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Blom. That was Ted Blom. He's the former Eskom senior executive and a partner at Mining and Energy Advisors. He was our guest this evening. And listen to that, eh? Miracles happen here. Gershwell Brooks standing in for Karima Brown and the Karima Brown Show. And wonderful things happen where we connect. We manage to connect the dots and bring together Mr. Ted Blom and Mr. Mabuza. Former chair of, current chair of Eskom. I hope I didn't jinx him there in the process. 24 minutes.